This is the Life Truth Network.
And we are recording. Now I gotta find my notes. And I'm all set, so let's do this thing.
Quest for our Truth, episode 368.
Healthly Podcast Network.
HPN, in conjunction with Protectors of the Book, presents
Quest for Truth.
Now located at life-truth.com.
Seeking the truth about God, faith, and the Bible.
Life Truth, comparing worldviews in a casual setting, digging deep into the Bible and its challenges.
Here are your podcast host deputies,
Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome once again to Quest for Truth. And I am live today in Church House Studio. And I even have a special guest host, actually co-host, Nathan Caldwell.
I was thinking, are we downgrading me now?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been so long. I mean, I purposely kind of laid low on the live recordings through the pre-Easter holiday because I know there's a lot of busy time, spring breaks, family time. I'm not sure how actively doing sermons you are approaching
Easter. Well, it's been a couple weeks since I've preached, but
it's good that you still got a hand in that.
Well, of course.
I haven't done that in a while. But I haven't been holding any official deacon capacities for about 2 years, about time all the COVID stuff kicked off. So yeah, we are back together in the Church House studio. Is there any catching up you wanted to let people know about? I know we've been putting out all of our audio dramas out there. We get some good response off of that.
Good. Crimson Garnet 8 is in the works officially. Also kind of officially been working on an art form that I can actually do. I can't draw.
Finger painting?
No. 3D modeling.
Oh. Is that like CAD architecture kind of a thing? Or
it's the same type of software. But certain people lend certain models and say, hey, you can use these in your project. Huh? So I don't have to make my own people.
No, you don't have to go from square one. You can work with the working model. Yeah, cool.
So I just deal with the costuming and stuff. Hey, I'll be right back. I need to get my teeth.
Hey, you know what? This would be a good time to insert a quick promo from those good folks there at the Christian Podcast Community, ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. You'll find a bunch of shows that sound like, some of them sound like this.
My name is Andy Olson, and I want to tell you about Echozoi Radio. Echozoi Radio is a podcast outreach of Echozoi Ministries. Every month, I find a knowledgeable guest to talk about an important and interesting topic that affects the church today. We carefully balance the discussions of positive, God-glorifying doctrines of Orthodox Christianity from a mostly Reformed point of view with exposés of heresy, false teaching, and poor practice that goes on throughout the church today. You can find us at echozoe.com. That's echozoe.com.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another for his name's sake.
What's up, everybody? I'm Jamal Bandy, the host of the Prescribed Truth Podcast, where I seek to distribute the truth that the doctor prescribes to the church and the world today. The Lord graciously brought me out of a cult in 2010, Save Me in 2013, and in 2017, Prescribed Truth began. My mission has been to spread the truth of God's word while refuting dangerous lies affecting most churches and the culture at large from a biblical and reformed perspective. Join me on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the live recording of the podcast on YouTube, and download the audio version wherever podcasts can be found, including the Christian Podcast Community. If you would like to know more about Prescribed Truth, please visit my website at prescribedtruth.com. And remember, this world is full of errors, but the only thing that the doctor prescribes is truth. Blessings.
Let me tell you how behind I am on listening to podcasts.
I can imagine. I get behind myself.
I recently heard your, and I usually go in order from earliest haven't heard that I'm interested in to and on up. And the latest thing I remember hearing you in was the podcast Throwdown about comedy.
Oh, wow. That was some time ago. That was like last November, early December. Yeah, that was a good one. There was only like four people there.
Yeah, it was. There we go. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I was kind of wishing that, excuse me, I was kind of wishing that maybe you would be able to attend that, or there'd be other participants, but it was still pretty good, a nice little group. Well, I've been doing a variety of things. Of course, I put together my short little Easter series. It was based on a devotional, it was freely given, so I freely used it. This last week I thought, you know, I've had the project on the back burner for a while. I asked someone else to do if they would be interested in doing it, and I guess they aren't, because I haven't heard them do it. And that is to present like a hymn sort of in a devotional form, and especially searching the Bible for scriptural support for each of the parts of the hymn.
As long as it's in context.
Well, the thing is, it was already time consuming enough to pick out a key word or phrase and go through. And of course I get back like bunches and bunches of hits, and some of them are like that's doesn't pertain to what the song is about, and so I managed to thin it down to usually a verse or two or three that would match the phraseology of the hymn.
Yeah, I was talking about taking the verse in context. There's been a few songs where
collectively, I mean, individually, the verses, I won't swear they're exactly in context, but I honestly think that they are. But hey, that's a challenge. If someone wants to pick that apart, let me know if I
recently discovered one as I was just going through my day, and I discovered one. I thought, wait a second, this is one we've been singing for years. It's a classic. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, technically, well, you could take it more than one way, but the song says, every work for Jesus will be blessed. That's not true.
Well,
because Jesus says, many will come to him saying, haven't we done this in your name and this in your name?
That is true. Yeah.
So I get
from,
it. If
from
you
one
are
aspect, I can see that being true.
Right.
From another aspect, it's like it's not a name and claim it. Jesus is my wishing fairy.
Right.
Kind of thing. But even if you aren't blessed for doing your work for him in this life, there is treasure in heaven that you will be blessed
as long as you're his child.
Right.
As long as you've trusted Jesus.
Right. Well, if
so many people are.
If you haven't, you're not going to be in heaven to receive that treasure. You're going
correct.
To be somewhere else receiving not treasure.
Right. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, every work for Jesus. Well, technically, no, because some people who quote work for Jesus, unquote, don't know him. Right. And so, but I get where the song is coming from.
Oh yeah.
It's just like,
there are definitely even preachers out there who they are in it for the money. I mean, it's like, as if preachers make a lot of money, but hey, if you market yourself and you do all a lot of business techniques, so you can pump up and really seem to have a big thriving church whenever you're just there to put the money in your pocket. There's a lot of prosperity preachers that do that.
Maybe we should get with the one preacher that conned his church into buying him a jet.
Yeah, I think if your preacher needs a jet, maybe he needs a walk more first.
I think if your preacher needs a jet, maybe you should just jet him on out of here. He needs to go to the mission field and you need a new preacher.
Yeah, there we go. Just jet him on out of here and fill his pulpit with somebody else.
I mean, I'm all about driving maybe an hour, but I don't want to have to fly to church every Sunday.
Yeah, get you a little ultralight or helicopter, fly an hour to church. Whee.
How many campuses do you have? Oh, just this one.
Well, you know, now I could see it if you were somewhere remote, like say parts of Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
It could be different. Or if you're like, you know, a missionary in Africa where there's not a road between this town and that town.
Or the Philippines or something like that.
But you got to be better served with, you know, something like small, like a Cessna, than a Lear.
Right.
A Lear takes a lot of fuel and so long takeoffs, where a Cessna, you can put down just about any place if you had to. Anyway, but yeah, some catching up stuff there. Hey, we are working on Luke scripts. There's a couple out
there. I'm trying to think. Did I get all the voices in for... Is it 15?
I have not even checked if you put any in the folder or not.
If I'm missing one, let me know and I'll get on that.
Really, there's only two new voices between episode 15 and 16. And there's only one that's in both of them. So it should be pretty easy to script. Anyway. And if anybody wants to help out with that project, because we use free voice actors, so. They don't get paid. This is why it takes a lot, because people squeeze it in when they can.
Can't remember if I got them cast or not, but if I did, it would be in the... The file should have their name on it or something.
All right. Well, I'll have a look later and see. Well, I'll be kind of busy today and maybe the rest of the week, but we'll see what I can do.
Speaking of a week...
Main topic.
Last week was a very special day.
Yeah, I hear some ladies from our gathering went down to a tomb and found it empty, and said they saw some angels there. Said he has risen, just as you said.
No, Keith, that was years that week? Ago.
Oh yeah, it seems like just yesterday.
Oh, I guess you are old enough to have been there, huh?
Well, I'm going to have to bite my tongue. We'll go off onto a bunny trail.
Wait, a bunny trail?
Yeah, an Easter bunny trail. No pun intended on that one. I'm going to step on that. Hey, you know what you get if you cross a snake with an Easter bunny? The jump rope.
Oh, no.
My sister posted it on Facebook. Anyway, enough of that bunny trail. The resurrection. And, you know, it was such an amazing, I mean, really mind-blowing morning, because you have these women that go to the tomb. And they see this, and I think even when they saw it, and even though the angel said he's risen as they said, it still didn't set in their mind that this is really happening. I mean, somebody actually got up out of a grave. Because in Matthew, it records, you know, the angel telling the women, go tell the disciples, meet me at the mountain in Galilee, and they take off. And on their way, they get stopped by Jesus, who tells them the same thing again. It's like, I think he knew their minds were like, you know, in a mixed master, like, you know, we gotta get this straight, tell them to go to meet me on the mountain. And then late, and John even, he records, you know, the woman to find the tomb. They run and tell the disciples, and James and John come racing back. Mary is kind of left there in the garden, and she sees Jesus, thinks he's a gardener. And she's like, tell me what you did with him. I mean, she's seen empty tomb. She's got the message. She told the disciples. She's come back, and she still can't believe it. Tell me what you did with his body.
Wait, that was after the angel told her?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Because she, I mean, even in John, he doesn't record the angels telling her, go tell the disciples. But the chain of events is she and the other Marys and women are at the tomb. There's an angel that says he's risen. This, as he said, go tell the disciples. They run off. They tell the disciples. James and John race to the tomb. Apparently, so does Mary Magdalene, or either that, or she's just still in the graveyard in shock. But once they leave, she's still in the garden. And so she's seen the angels. She's got the message. She's told them. And there she is in the garden, just like stunned. And she thinks that Jesus is the gardener. And she asks him, what did you do with his body? Tell me and I'll take him away. So it's just such a mind-blowing thing that even though they've seen it, they've double seen it, they've been told, they've been double told, it just wasn't sinking in. But anyway, apparently, after the morning events, this really toasted everybody's brain cells. You have, in some accounts, the disciples stay in Jerusalem. In Matthew, it commands them to go to Galilee. I think in John, it says they all went to their own homes, which presumably would be in Galilee. But at any rate, later that same day, you have a couple of guys on the road to Emmaus, wherever that is. I think it's like a seven miles away from Jerusalem. It's about a half a day's walk. It would take about the whole morning to get there. And along the way, they're joined by this strange man who asks them about the events that have just transpired. I'm trying to find Luke 24.
Is that Luke 24?
Yeah, starting at 13, verse 13.
There we go. Am I unmuted?
No, I can hear you. It's fine.
All right, good. Okay. Which brand do you want? I mean,
you can read it from whatever you want. I mean, whenever I did my thing about the hymnal, I did it from King James just because I don't like to read from the King James, brother. I want to do it anyway. Just torture.
What about. I don't know. Do we need some kind of copyright disclaimer if we use the new King James?
Well, it is copyrighted. The regular King James is open source. The NKJV actually has a copyright.
I know they allow us to use it, but do we need to post something somewhere?
I'll have to find it and post it, sure.
Okay. It's just a little easier. There's less these thous and tongue twisting.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to start with 13?
Yeah.
Okay, so after that, he being Jesus, appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. So here you have, I mean, you have some shock here, don't you? You have some trouble believing. But and you say, well, they should believe, shouldn't they? And I could say a couple different things to that. One, you got to remember, they may not even get it. I mean, they may not believe it because they just can't wrap their mind around it.
Right. Just like Mary Magdalene at the tomb just couldn't wrap her mind around it, even though she's seen it there. So,
and these
two guys are disciples. I mean, they say they weren't the 12, but they were more than the 12 who followed Jesus.
And you also have to remember that Jesus told them everything that would happen and they didn't get it. As a matter of fact, if you are to look at the Emmaus Road incident, which look at the Emmaus Road incident,
that's what you're reading now from Luke 24. The two men were on the road to Emmaus and Jesus joined them.
Yeah, but it doesn't give the details here.
It doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Details like.
Like what he said to them, him, and what they said to him.
He said to them, "What are these words you're saying as they're walking? It's just still looking sad."
Right.
One of them, named Cleopas, said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which would happen here in these days?"
Right.
And he said,
I'm in Mark.
Things about Jesus of Nazarene, the prophet. And how the chief priests handled him. And Jesus began to teach them all from the scriptures, from starting from Moses to all the prophets.
I was in Mark.
Mark doesn't really say an awful lot about
that. No, he does acknowledge it happened. But for some reason, I thought I was in Luke and I was in Mark. So now let's try this again. Now, behold, two of them. Again, this is the New King James Version. Two of them were traveling that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now we see in Mark that he was taking on another form. Basically, he didn't want them to recognize him right away.
Well, what I take away from taking on another form meant that, I mean, he would have been pretty bloodied up after being on the cross. And taking on another form might just mean he's taken on his glorified body to appear.
Possibly. But either way, we see in verse 16 that their eyes were restrained, so they didn't know him. So however it was done, it was intentional that they did not know him yet.
Right. Yeah, just like with Mary Magdalene at the tomb, she didn't recognize Jesus initially.
Right.
But when he called her name, she did. It'll be the same way here as we keep going.
Isn't that a beautiful story? When Mary, when all he has to say is Mary, and she's like, "It's you," you know?
Yeah.
Verse 17 says, "He said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then one whose name was Cleopas," which one is that? Is that just Cleopas? Is that
one of them? It doesn't mention the other one's name, just Cleopas. I'm assuming that Cleopas might have been the one who went back and reported things.
He's not one of the 12, though, is he?
No, he's not one of the 12. Okay. These would be two disciples who were others.
They were still following him. Okay, gotcha. So Cleopas answered and said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." In other words, he says he was a mighty prophet, but we really thought he was the Messiah. Is that, am I accurately?
Because that was the common understanding of who Messiah would be, is someone who would reestablish an earthly kingdom. We thought this guy was going to be that guy.
Right.
And he died. What would he do that for?
um, Besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And now this next part is extremely important. So verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses," Genesis, "the books of Moses, and all the prophets," Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you know, all of it, "he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." The Bible is about salvation. And the only salvation is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible, from cover to cover, is so rich with Jesus.
And you know, the point that I really like here is he used the prophets. He used what we would call the Old Testament,
right,
to explain everything that would connect Messiah, who he was and what he had to do, what he was all about. Elsewhere, whenever Paul was converted, he did a similar thing. He wanted to dig into scripture himself. He says he went away for a number of years studying the prophets to make sense of all this. So even if all we had today was the Old Testament books, we could still put together who Jesus was from all the prophecies that are there.
Right.
Now, fortunately, we do have New Testament writings that help further guide us in these understandings of what it means to be Christian. But it's really great. I mean, there's no excuse. If all you have is the Old Testament, you can still piece together prophets, I mean, through the whole thing. You know.
Verse 28 says, "Then they drew near to the village." Well, that's odd. The dog just got up and started barking.
Uh-oh. You know why? Because we're approaching the village, and there's always dogs in the village. A couple jump up and bark at it.
Yeah, and we might even be approaching this message from the Christian podcast community.
Did you know that Striving for Eternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible interpretation made easy, creation science, evangelism, presuppositional apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Hello, everyone. Daniel Minnick here. I host a podcast called Truth Espresso, and I am inviting you to join in. So what can you expect at Truth Espresso? Well, at Truth Espresso, we wake up our minds every Monday with a robust shot of truth. Let's dig deep in the Word of God as we get to know our God better together. Let's challenge our view of the world as we take apart conventional politics with a fine-toothed comb. See all that Truth Espresso has to offer by going to www.truthespresso.com. And by the way, Truth Espresso is now a member podcast of the growing family of the Christian podcast community. Check out other faith-building shows at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org, hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries.
All right, I'm back.
Hey, we're back. Those promos you just heard while we were gone was from the ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. But hey, we had to take care of doggy business, because when a doggy's got to go, the doggy's got to go.
Actually, he's got a door for that. I think he just got startled.
So he's you're his comfort human, you're saying. Instead of having a comfort dog, he has a comfort human.
It goes both ways. It goes both ways.
Yeah, well,
he's been good today.
Yeah. But the two guys on the road to Emmaus, we left off at verse 27 or 8, was it?
28. Jesus had just explained himself, literally, from the Old Testament. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. So they wanted probably to talk further, or at least to take care of him, make sure he didn't, you know, get out late. But it says, verse 30, "Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?'"
So even though he hadn't identified himself, his message was definitely something special, that all their spidey senses were tingling over what he was saying, to kind of borrow a modern phrase. They could tell that there's something about this guy. And I like what it says, he indicated he would go further, which to me is like, you know, they clearly all going to travel so far and stop. And sometimes that's the way we are in our life, is we have a certain goal. We're going to go so far and stop. But even if that's all we're going to plan on doing, that's our stopping spot. Jesus is always willing to go further. Hey, come on, motion. Give me the motions to go further. If you're willing to go further, he'd go further with you. But maybe this is their goal, so that's fine. They stop. But Jesus stops too. And it wasn't until he basically communed with them. He broke bread. He had the fish. And isn't that great when you have communion? The night before the crucifixion, I mean, they had the communion, and here they are doing that again. And
well, now I have to correct you there, because Jesus said he wouldn't do.
Well, that communion before the crucifixion was the Passover, what they call it, Seder. And he would not have that special communion meal with them again until he did it in his kingdom.
Right.
But this is a little different, because it's not that communion. It's just a meal.
Right. Right.
Where they're breaking bread or having fish. But it's at this, you know, personal moment, whenever when you're with somebody and you sit down to a meal, it's a pretty intimate moment. And suddenly that's when.
Right.
This very human thing that he's done, he's not just some spirit, he's not just a vision, he has an actual body, because otherwise the fish would have fell on the floor. He would have chewed it up, fell on the floor. But he ate it, he communed, and he definitely showed he had a body, a glorified body, and then he disappeared from their sight. So glorified bodies are pretty amazing. They can appear, they're solid, and they can disappear.
It's pretty cool.
Now, verse 33 continues saying they got the very hour. I mean, it's evening. They've been traveling, you know, half the day, probably most of the afternoon. It's evening, and now Jesus is gone, and they just had a quick bite to eat, and they're like, "We got to go back to Jerusalem and tell everybody."
And you know what? Isn't that the way it should be? Should not the gospel excite us to the point of, I got to get busy. I gotta tell somebody. I gotta let the world know that, one, Jesus is alive, and two, he is so ready to save.
Right. And remember, whenever these two men first saw Jesus, they said, some woman among us went to the tomb and said they had a vision of angels and Jesus, but they didn't indicate anybody else saw Jesus, but now they have. It's like, we saw him too. We gotta go back and tell him. You know, yeah, that would be a thrilling moment. I mean, knowing that you were one of the first ones to have seen the resurrected Jesus in bodily form. Now, it wouldn't be the last time.
Oh, no.
Because he will have been seen several times.
He eats fish with them in just a few verses after this. And, you know, that's cool that to see, you know, this guy's real, he's alive. And of course he gives them the Great Commission.
Now in verse 36, these men had gotten back to Jerusalem and they were telling the disciples all about this.
Jesus shows up.
Yeah. Verse 36, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said, peace be to you.
Yep.
I mean, while they were saying, we saw him, Jesus is like, bing, here I am. I mean, I'm sure it didn't happen like that way, with, you know, being or something like that, but he made an appearance.
So they're afraid. They think they've seen a ghost. Verse 38, he says, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have.
Right. And so again, he lets them examine his tangible body. I mean, the first
right.
two. Ate food with him, and these guys who say, here I am, touch me, look at my wounds, look at my hands.
But Keith, I also want us to notice what Jesus didn't do. Mm-hmm. What Jesus didn't do was, I can't believe you're doubting, I'm out of here.
In Matthew, it mentions that they were doubtful, but I'd have to look it up again. But I'm pretty sure that the usage of the word doubt has to do more with hesitancy than actual being full on skeptical.
Right. But the point, what even hesitancy, some people would be like, well, I'm having questions. And other people are like, well, shame on you. You shouldn't have questions. There's nothing wrong necessarily with having questions.
No.
If you know where to find the answers.
And here they were afraid and doubtful. And Jesus, like I said, he wasn't scornful or condemning. He gave them what they needed to tell
yes.
that he was a real person. It was really him. He gave them what they needed to alleviate those doubts. Now here, run back to Matthew real quick. A similar thing, and now Matthew's verse is really compressed. He meets them, they're doubtful. And the first thing he says is, I have authority to, you know, over all things. And he goes into the Great Commission, go out to the world and make disciples and so
right.
forth. But here, Luke is a little bit more expressive. The first thing he says is peace. And then he goes into, check me out, touch my body. It's really me. Don't be afraid to examine me. So we shouldn't be afraid to examine evidence of Jesus.
Correct.
And he will give us the evidence that we need that meets our standards.
It's there. Right. The evidence is there. Just like it was then, it's there. There is still evidence here today. Just because Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father doesn't mean there's not evidence still. I mean, these words themselves are evidence. They're eyewitness testimony. Or based on eyewitness testimony. Because, I mean, you know, here it is.
I talking about giving what they need, moving down to verse 41, it says, while they still could not believe because of their joy and amazement. Now they couldn't believe because they were so overjoyed. They were so,
this is too good to be true.
This is too good to be true. And what does Jesus do? He says, basically, you got some food? Have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He ate it. And so again, they were witness to sharing a meal and witnessing that this is really a tangible person. He was able to eat food.
Right. Yeah, we're missing a piece of fish, so it wasn't an illusion.
Yeah. And so he gives them everything they need, and even more. I mean, even they were scared and doubtful, and he says, check me out. They were joyful and doubtful, and he says, hey, let's share some food together. And so again, it's he gives people what they need as far as evidence goes to alleviate doubts. Now, John places the disciples together like this, but he mentions that Thomas is missing. And it's not until 8 days later that Thomas shows up. In John 20, starting in verse 19, I just want to hurry up and zoom over to those verses.
Now, this would be in between this event and the Great Commission, correct?
Yeah, this is kind of filling in a part of a timeline here that Luke has gone into some detail. And Matthew doesn't really talk huge detail. Mark says almost nothing about this. But John and Luke really fill in some details of what happened when Jesus met with his disciples. Because, I mean, John is the only one that says Thomas wasn't there, and there was another meeting 8 days later there in Jerusalem. And it's, like I said, John 20, starting in verse 19.
Oh, that's my cue. Okay.
Yeah, if you have it, I mean, I can try to read it.
Oh, I can get it quick. Starting in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. We're going to be glad one day. So Jesus, well, if we've trusted Christ, we're going to be glad. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, also I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called
Didymus,
twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of nails and put my finger into the print of nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I guess he's like, I've been heartbroken before, you know.
And he's not asking for anything that other disciples didn't see.
Right.
Jesus offered voluntarily. But he's kind of saying, he's setting a standard. You know, he's saying, this is what it's going to take for me to believe is, you know, see the wounds, touch the wounds, and so forth.
And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here. And he put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now Jesus answers. He says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. sorry, because you have seen, he's not asking, he's saying, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And I want to tell you something. He's talking about us, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
When he says, those who have not seen and have believed, that's us, right?
Right. You know, whenever Thomas laid out his criteria, unless I, you know, see the wounds and touch them, I won't believe. Jesus says, here you go. When he says, put your finger here in your hand, what he's saying is thrust your finger into the hole, thrust your hand into the wound.
Right.
It's what Jesus says, don't just touch me, you know, jam your hand in there.
Ew.
It's like he's saying, here's your evidence, but here's even more. But what does Thomas do? He there's no record that he touched him.
Nope.
All seeing him was enough. Mm-hmm. And so he demanded to see and touch, but just seeing
was enough.
Was enough. So again, Jesus gave him the evidence plus more. And I always like that where he says, blessed are those who have not seen and believed.
Right.
Because these disciples had the I'll say benefit, advantage of actually, you know, living with Jesus, seeing his death, seeing his resurrection. You know, we today don't have that. We do have their eyewitness accounts in the scripture, and we do have the witness and testimony of a couple thousand years of people who've testified this is true.
A couple other things that note, it had been called to my attention by another preacher preaching a sermon that Jesus, of course, was not there when he said what he said, when Thomas said what he said, and yet Jesus here knows what Thomas needed.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that's interesting.
So it kind of like, was it Philip and Nathaniel?
Yes.
I saw you under the fig tree. He's like, you saw me under the fig tree? You are the Lord of God, or however we put it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that's the other thing. I want to do another number of what Jesus didn't do. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus did not say, now hold on a minute, Thomas. You know, now don't worship me. Worship the Father. No. What he said was, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. In other words, he basically said he doesn't argue with Thomas. He agrees with Thomas.
Right.
Here's right. The deity of Christ right here. He accepts worship.
Yep.
Because he is worthy of worship.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about Jesus breathing on them.
Yes,
And giving them the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's very important that they had that. But you also have to know, coming up in Acts 2, even though he breathed on them with the Holy Spirit, they didn't receive the full power of the Holy Spirit until later.
Here's another thing to think about. I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, I'm just making an observation. I'm not saying what to take away from that.
No, I'm not arguing. My point is this. These were a few individuals.
Right.
When Pentecost came, it was the whole church.
That's a good point.
Being baptized. Now, here's another thing. After Acts, let me put it this, there was one baptism of the Holy Ghost, one.
Mm-hmm.
You hear people talking about it today. No, there was one. It was on the day of Pentecost. There were moments in Acts where people had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Possibly because they were still kind of maybe didn't have all the information. I think one was like, well, we only know what John had to say, John the Baptist had to say. And then, so they tell him the rest of the story. But when it's all said and done, the Holy Spirit is now received by any who believe on Christ. Now there is no, you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Once you're saved, you get that him.
Right. And I suppose that's maybe a point to, I don't want to get too deep into this because it can get very deep.
Yes.
But there are those who claim, you know, you have a giving of the Holy Spirit, a second to giving of the Holy Spirit. Well, and they point to this. They point to, well, Jesus gave them the Spirit, so they can go out and they spent some time healing and casting out demons, and they came back and reported to Jesus what they did. And they say, well, there's a giving of the Holy Spirit, and here's a giving of the Holy Spirit. And then they have this thing in Acts 2, you have multiple givings of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, until Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was tightly entwined with Jesus.
Right.
And he wasn't giving them the Holy Spirit in his full power, or in his full power, more correctly to say. But he was giving them enough for what they needed at the moment.
I like what you say about the Holy Spirit being tightly entwined with Jesus, because he still is.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit is, I mean, when we say Jesus lives in us, it's really the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That does. And of course, we could also say the same of the Father. Let's just be fair. They're all three are one God, so they're all going to be tightly entwined. But
and again, I don't want to run down the road of the Holy Spirit, because we have covered this in podcasts and in our past. We can do it again. But the Holy Spirit, if you read, is given by God to Jesus, and then Jesus gives that same Spirit to us.
Right.
And it happened in Acts 2 at Pentecost. Before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was a matter of God's Spirit and Jesus' Spirit. It didn't become ours until Acts 2. And when it was given, even to the prophets, it was only given for certain moments, certain purposes. It was not always an enduring visitor, we'll say. You know, maybe like cases with Moses, maybe cases like Ezekiel and Elijah, maybe. But it was not freely given until Pentecost,
you have your God chosen people that the Spirit came on.
Right. As of Acts 2, then that's when they burst the jar open,
right,
so to speak, and now the Holy Spirit is available to anybody who believes in Christ.
Right.
And so that's what you're saying, and what I would say is when you are saved, whenever you are regenerated, at that moment, you receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he stays with you until the end. There is no second gift. There is, I always love D.L. Moody's statement, why he prays to be filled with the Holy Spirit every time, because he leaks and he needs to be filled every day. You need that filling every day. So it's not a second giving. It's a 365 day a year giving.
And it's also, I have heard it explained that being filled with the Holy Spirit is simply meaning letting him direct, letting him lead. And of course, the only way you're going to do that is by knowing what God says in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit can bring that back to mind. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak anymore, you know, per se, but
well, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for to speak in tongues, we need to talk to you. Give me a phone call. We need to talk. Not that kind of thing couldn't or wouldn't or doesn't happen, but it's not the de facto thing. And honestly, if you see any time people in the New Testament talking in tongues, it is initiating a new church, initiating the church in Jerusalem, initiating the church in Samaria, initiating the church among the Gentiles.
And really, what it really is them speaking another language that they did not know, but it was not.
But it was a language.
It was a language, right.
Because the word tongue means,
language
is where we get the word glossary. The glossary is a table of words and their meanings. So if you're going to speak in a glossé, a tongue, you're speaking in words that have meaning. You're not just babbling incoherently. If you're doing that, I can say you're maybe full of the spirit, but you're not speaking in tongues. You're just speaking in gibberish.
I see you're being generous. I was thinking maybe you're full of the spirit, but it might not be the spirit you're aiming to be full of.
Well, that could be too. That really could be too.
Yeah.
The passage goes on. I mean, we could just continue to go on to the rest of John 20, John 21. But the rest of the book of John goes into a great detail of what Jesus taught his disciples after he was resurrected. And then Luke ends with chapter 24, but then Luke rolls over into Acts 1 and 2, where we find out more about what Jesus was doing between his crucifixion and Pentecost. So I just wanted to focus on kind of the epilogue, the aftermath of Easter, Resurrection Day. And
I want to look at one other thing.
Yeah.
And I did not mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
This is an important one. I think it's still in Luke 24,
right,
or at least close to that area.
Well, Luke 24 is the last chapter of Luke. So
it is definitely in Luke 24.
It goes to verse 53, I'm pretty sure.
Let's see. Here it is. No, it's not here. Oh, I think what I want is Acts.
Right. Because, again, Acts is basically Luke part two. Luke is all about Jesus, and Acts is all about what the apostles did after the resurrection.
Okay. So this is Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded, Jesus did, them not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Basically what he said is, and he said it in a loving way, but when I'm doing this stuff that I will one day do, it's not your business to know when that's going to be. I have a job for you to do. You need to tell others about me.
Right. And an important thing there is what he's saying, while not saying it, is I will set up my kingdom. I will come again to do that. But it may not be as soon as you think you want it to be. And,
right.
And it has been a couple thousand years.
Yes.
But every day we get a little more closer.
Yes.
And Jesus said he would return. And we know that to be true. When? We don't know the seasons. We don't know.
It's not our place.
People can guess. They can put together assumptions from Revelations or Daniel or places of prophecy in the Bible. But that's not what Jesus intended. It's not for us to know. We should be surprised like a thief in the night, but we should be found doing his work at that time.
Surprised, but prepared.
Yeah, exactly. Surprised, but prepared.
Still, verse 9 here of Acts chapter 1 says, now when he had spoken these things while they watched. Now we're talking about 500 witnesses here.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will in like manner come back as you saw him go into heaven. I twisted that around, but
I'm paraphrasing it, we'll call it.
Yeah. It's correct, but it's not the exact wording. So there we are. That's what I wanted to share is Jesus in I guess you'd say summary, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on a cruel cross, rose from the dead, ascended, and he's not done yet. He's coming back again.
Well, and people say, where is Jesus today? Well, he's sitting on a throne next to God and with his glorified body. And as these verses prove, a glorified body can appear even through a locker room. A glorified body can be touched, eat food, disappear, ascend on a cloud. A glorified body isn't limited to the bodies that we have, which is amazing. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I would say unbelievable, but there it is.
Like the New Testament writer put it, we don't know how we shall be, but we know we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it would be awesome to have Jesus come back while we're on earth. But I think I'll be just as content if I was to pass away and be buried, and then he comes back at some point later. That'd be awesome to be one of the first ones to spring out of the ground to meet him.
So you'd be first in line then.
Yeah. It would be that. So
unless it's alphabetical
way,
order.
Either way, it's a win-win situation.
Hello, and welcome to the In Awe and Wonder podcast. In Awe Wonder podcast, all one word, @gmail.com. The voicemail, the Google voicemail number set up where you can call and leave a message, 724-237-5319. My purpose statement, it really comes down to seeing the need and wanting to help, standing in the gap, so to speak, by helping women to grow in biblical literacy, discernment, discipleship, Christian living, and in awe and wonder of God. From there, my prayer would be that women growing in these areas would do something to share the gospel and to help grow other women disciples locally in their communities and churches and in the world. Thanks for listening. So, you can like, subscribe, and share. The blog page is www.kristen-hamilton.com. You can follow the Facebook page called In Awe and Wonder podcast/blog. And you can do a search for the private Facebook group that is simply called In Awe and Wonder. You can follow me on Twitter @KristenHammy. Have a great day and keep reading your Bible.
Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to the Abundant Life Podcast. I'm here with my good friend and faithful servant in the faith, Sasso Mendez.
Hello, hello. What's going on out there? YouTube and radio waves.
Land.
Radio land.
But we really want this content to go out. We want people to know Amen. About Jesus and the truth. And Amen. So, yeah, go ahead and rate us if you can. Give it a rating. If not, just at least subscribe. If you would subscribe, that way you're aware of when we drop a new episode. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter. Give us a like on Facebook. And we just want to thank you guys for your support. And we'll see you in the next
2 weeks. Coming up.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Don't miss it. Thanks, guys. We love you guys. We'll see you.
Thank you. Bye. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.
that is, I hesitate to call it the aftermath of Easter. It sounds like disaster has struck.
No.
But it's an epilogue. It's
yes.
Jesus just didn't rise to prove an amazing point, a little exclamation point. He spent time. He spent up to 50 days. Pentecost. I mean, it's 50 days or 50th day or something like that. But he spent time focusing on his disciples. He spent the effort to open their minds so that they could understand, as he taught them from the prophets, from Moses to the end of the prophets, so that they could then administer that to others as the body of Christ grew and expanded throughout the known world at the time, and even our own world today. That is it. There's our presentation here.
And with that, I guess it's about time for us to holler at Anthony Russo to close us out. But before we do, I would like to let Anthony share about his own show, because he's about to tell you guys how to get in touch with us and ours.
Yeah, and we will definitely give him a time to talk about the show he hosts with his wife right here.
Ever wish you could get together with a friend over coffee each week and talk about God's Word? Me too. Hi, I'm Anthony Russo. I'm the host of Grace and Peace Radio. Grace and Peace Radio is a Christian living blog and podcast dedicated to engaging conversations about applying God's Word to everyday life. I hope you'll join me, Anthony Russo, on Grace and Peace Radio each week at graceandpeaceradio.com or right here on the ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
Speaking of which, he still does have a book out.
Yeah, if you haven't.
Jesus Changed Everything.
I think that's it.
Good book, if you haven't read it.
If you haven't got it, go pick it up. It's up wherever all good books are sold, whether it be Amazon or Barnes & Noble or various places.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.